Dalia Zaida is a young Egyptian woman who works for a Unitarian Universalist Service Committee partner called the American Islamic Conference in their Cairo office. On a trip to the United States a couple of years ago, Dalia came upon a comic book that told the story of the Montgomery bus boycott. The purpose of the comic book was to highlight nonviolent protest, and it was published in the 1950s. Dalia had never heard of Martin Luther King Jr. before, and she was deeply impressed and felt that her people in Egypt would benefit from knowing this story and the values it represented. So she worked with the UUSC to translate it into Arabic, and then she returned to Egypt. Once the comic book was published in Arabic, it was distributed all over the Middle East, beginning with just 2,000 copies. Dalia tells the story of a security officer in Egypt who was trying to keep her from printing it. But when she read it to him, he then actually changed his mind and helped her get copies and asked her if he could have some to give to his children. So I'm proud to say that some people, including journalist Robin Wright, who wrote a book about the Arab Spring, have credited this comic book with helping to keep the protests in Egypt peaceful. I don't know what kinds of shoes Dalia wears, but in my mind, they are very loud and fancy. There's more work to do in Egypt, but clearly Dalia is bending the arc of the moral universe toward justice. I've always loved that quote from Theodore Parker, as have many other people, including Martin Luther King Jr. and President Obama. In fact, as you probably know, Dr. King paraphrased it many times, and that's how the quote has become famous. Most people don't even know that it was a Unitarian who first said it, something that I love to point out. Last MLK Day, a lot of my friends had that quote as their Facebook status, the quote from Martin Luther King, and so I always had to comment. You know, I had to put the real quote from Theodore Parker and say that it was a Unitarian because I love Unitarian Universalism that much, and I'm that obnoxious. Anyway, one reason that I love that quote is because it expresses an optimism that I share with Reverend Parker. I truly believe the world is getting better and better. My optimism is deeply rooted in my Unitarian Universalism and in my observation of the world. So I'm here today to share some good news with you. This is a good time to be alive. The arc of the universe is really getting ever closer to justice. In his new book, The Better Angels of Our Nature, Why Violence Has Declined, big, thick, giant book, Steven Pinker offers compelling evidence that the world is far more peaceful now than it has ever been. He shows, for example, that a smaller percentage of the population died in warfare in the 20th century than in the past. Additionally, we know that infanticide, homicide, capital punishment, and public torture have all decreased dramatically over time. In fact, violence and cruelty that were once used as forms of entertainment are now seen by most people as appalling. Think, for example, of cat burning, a popular form of public entertainment in the 16th century France. Yes, I said cat burning. This is a good time to be alive. I've been watching the TV show Mad Men, and I'm convinced this is a much better time to be a woman. I wasn't around in the early 1960s, but from what I hear, the show offers a pretty accurate depiction, and the sexism and discrimination are nothing shy of jaw-dropping. This is also the best time in history to be gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgendered. We can all wear louder shoes now. Here's more good news. Slavery is illegal in every country on this earth. Smallpox has been eradicated. The internet makes it possible for people almost everywhere to have access to information. Who, 50 years ago, would have predicted that we would have an African-American president? I could go on and on. But I know, and you know, that it's not all good news. There is still work to do. The world is not completely just. The climate is changing, and because of that, we are seeing more droughts, floods, and massive storms. Despite the fact that it is illegal everywhere, there are more slaves on earth now than when slavery was legal. It represents a smaller percentage of the population, but it's still more people by numbers. Nearly 884 million people lack access to clean, safe water. Billions of people worldwide live in poverty. Our country is still at war. No, it is definitely not all good news. We have work to do. As Parker said, in human affairs, the justice of God must work by human means. The world can only get better when people make it better. One way that Unitarian Universalists bend the arc of the moral universe is through the work of the UUSC, our service committee. As a UU, I have loyally supported our service committee with dollars and goodwill, but it wasn't until I began working there in June that I realized what an amazing organization it really is. I feel so grateful to be part of it. I feel like a woman walking in loud shoes. In fact, I didn't mean to do this, but you might notice later that I'm wearing incredibly beautiful, fancy shoes that I got from my mother-in-law, so. Okay. The work of the service committee is deeply rooted in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and in the principles of Unitarian Universalism. As such, we utilize what we call eye-to-eye partnerships. The UUSC partners with grassroots organizations around the world to help those groups achieve their own justice goals. Our method is first to listen and then to provide funding and technical support to our partners. The mission of the service committee is to advance human rights and social justice around the world, partnering with those who confront unjust power structures and mobilizing to challenge oppressive policies. In line with this, our partners are generally working to meet the needs of people who are being ignored or left out by larger aid organizations. By empowering smaller organizations and supporting marginalized people, the service committee creates ripple effects, like pebbles dropped into a pond. The work spreads out and impacts many more people than we, the service committee, will ever directly meet. Let me give an example. For 22 years, the people of Uganda experienced a bloody, brutal civil war that forced tens of thousands of people out of their villages into camps for internally displaced persons. After the war ended, the UUSC partnered with Caritas Padir, a group that is led and staffed entirely by Acholis, the ethnic group that lives in northern Uganda. The focus of much of the work has been helping people return to their villages, which is not an easy task after the practical and psychosocial costs of living in a camp for 22 years. People were afraid to go home. Horrible, horrible things had happened there. They would need to rebuild their houses and start their crops from scratch. They needed oxen to plow the land. And the communities were hurting. Many of the young men and boys in the camps had been forced to fight with the Lord's Resistance Army, and they were not fully welcomed back into their community. Girls had been raped and forced into sexual slavery, and they were not fully welcomed back into their community either. The people had become dependent upon aid agencies while living in the camps. The war had ended, but people were not going home. After listening to the needs and desires of the people, the UUSC, along with Caritas Padir, provided the materials for the Acholi people to perform cleansing rituals in their villages and rituals of rebirth for the boys who had been forced to be soldiers and the girls who had been sexually assaulted. Now, I want to just draw attention to that. We provided the materials for them to perform religious rituals, which is not something a lot of larger aid organizations provide. With the support of Caritas and the service committee, 14 villages have been resettled. Unitarian Universalists, you, through the service committee, provided the funds for people to have oxen and ox plows. The people said that they did not want to own their oxen individually, though. They believed that sharing the oxen would help strengthen their communities. So, based on the villages that they originally came from, the people organized themselves into groups of eight, and each group got a pair of oxen and a plow. Now they could start to plant their own crops and feed themselves, as they had always done before they were displaced by civil war. At some point, many of the young people who were being resettled asked for money for drums and other instruments. Martha Thompson, who's the program manager at the UUSC for Human Rights and Humanitarian Crisis, was a little skeptical. The service committee doesn't usually pay for things like drums. But the young people promised that they would help the old people build their houses if they could have drums, which sounds like a negotiation you might have with a teenager anywhere. So the service committee provided the money for instruments. As it turns out, this was a wise move. Not only did the people hold up their end of the bargain, but making music and dancing turned out to be an excellent way to reintegrate some of the people who were struggling to fit back into their community. The drumming strengthened intergenerational ties, and the ripple effects are amazing. People in one village wrote a song about going home, which is now played on a weekly radio program that's broadcast in the whole Acholi subregion, where still 500,000 people live in camps. Here's one more example of the UUSC bending the arc of the universe, this time closer to home. We're partnered with the Northwest Arkansas Workers Justice Center, which is in Arkansas. It's a grassroots organization that educates and advocates for low-wage workers. Last year, the Justice Center organized a forum to discuss wage theft, which is a huge problem for low-wage workers. People at the bottom of our pay scale are the most likely to just not get paid. Lionel Jordan, the mayor of Fayetteville, was at the forum and was moved by what he learned. He was so moved that he issued a proclamation prohibiting wage theft. Although this proclamation is non-binding, it's still the first such proclamation in this country. Mayor Jordan also agreed to establish a mayor's task force on wage theft, assign a police officer to investigate wage crimes, and create a hotline for people to report wage theft cases. The Justice Center staff, our partner, is part of the task force, and now they're advocating for binding legislation rather than just a proclamation that will help the lowest paid workers actually get the money that they earn. There are hundreds of stories like these. Because the UUSC has 53 partners in 21 countries, the stories of hope and justice abound. But I won't go on and on. What I will do is ask you to join me. When he paraphrased Theodore Parker, President Obama said that the arc bends because we put our hands on it. Put our hands on it and we bend it. That's what I'm asking you to do. Put your hands on the arc and move it toward justice by getting involved with our service committee. Here's what you can do. You can learn more about the UUSC. I'm a little short, but I did bring some materials. They're on the table. The round table nearest to the RE wing, so you can pick up any information there that you want, and I can bring more. And also, the service committee has a very rich website, so if you use the internet, please go there. It's uusc.org, and learn more about the work we're doing all over the world. You can also check out our YouTube channel, friend us on Facebook, or follow our president, Bill Schultz, on Twitter. There are also volunteer opportunities in every congregation. The local representative here is Phyllis Fitzgerald, so you can talk with her about what you can do, or you can talk with me. Sign up to go on a Just Works trip so that you can work hands-on with one of our partners. Right now, we have several trips planned to Haiti in the coming months. There's also a campaign going on at UUSC right now called Choose Compassionate Consumption. So you can go to the website and make a pledge to think before you buy. Finally, consider becoming a member of the UUSC. The price of a basic one-year membership is $40, and there are membership envelopes in your order of service. But I also want you to know that any contribution of $100 or more is matched dollar for dollar by the Shelter Rock congregation in New York. So please take the time to fill out that envelope and send it in or give it to me, and I'll take care of it for you. Theodore Parker believed, and I do too, that when our conscience awakens and we act for justice, we are in accord with our true nature. It is how we best express our faith in the goodness of life, of humanity, of the sacred. As Parker said, justice is the idea of God, the ideal of people. The ideal must become actual, God's thought a human thing. You and I can help forward that work. You and I may help deepen the channel of human morality in which God's justice runs. These words are as true today as they were 170 years ago. And together, we will deepen that channel, and justice will flow down like waters and peace like an ever-flowing stream. May it be so. Let's sing hymn number 121 together.